We are blessed with our children, are we not? Amen. There we go. The first week in our series, we talked about sharing the gospel and why should you do it. I'm a firm believer that you don't lead anybody in anything without giving them a reason why. And I told you before that one of our boys was really good at asking why when I gave him a no answer. When he wanted to do something. And he just so happens to be here today. He's turned out to be both of my sons I'm very proud of, and he is, he's walking with the Lord. I'm really proud of him. Glad he's here today. But we should give a why for what we do. Sharing the gospel should be a natural thing. It should be something that comes from the overflow of your heart. It's not something that you should have to be prodded in, although the Holy Spirit will do that. But why should we share it? And for those of you who have been here for a couple of weeks, why should we do that? Was number one, it's because everyone is condemned who hasn't believed in the Son of God. I want to read to you John 3:36 once again. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son or believe will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So we share the gospel because the wrath of God is abiding on those who haven't believed. We don't like to talk about that. You know, we want some friendlier news. That's the real news, is that we're all in this condemned state before trusting Christ as Savior. That's the reason why he came to rescue us from the wrath to come. But then also we share the gospel because Jesus told us to. In Matthew 28, he told us to go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And then last week, we talked about, well, what is the gospel? You know, what is it? Well, it's good news. It's really good news in spite of the bad news we just talked about, being under condemnation or going to suffer the wrath of God without believing in Christ. But this is the gospel again, 1 Corinthians 15:3, Paul speaking to them. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. It's not just that he died, but that he died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. So if he had died for the sins and he hadn't rose again, it wouldn't have accomplished anything. But he did. And that's the gospel. And that's what we share with people. We'll continue down this road a little bit. We'll get into more practical things. But I want to talk to you today about pressures. We can pull that up. Sharing the gospel, the pressures that come with that. And there's pressures from without, and there's pressures from within. And I want to talk through this today. Those of you who have shared your faith, have shared the gospel, know exactly what I'm talking about. And as we walk through this today, you'll be shaking your hand saying, yep, I've experienced that. Yep, I'm experiencing that. Yes, I've seen this, and yes, I've seen that. Let's take time to pray before we actually get into many of the scriptures that we'll be talking about from these pressures. Father, there's even pressure now. There's pressure in me. There's pressure from without. There may be some pressure from those that are sitting here today. With already the word's been shared, even that in itself can bring conviction. And so, Lord, I pray you'll help me to trust in you. You'll help me to recall what you put into my heart to study this week. And may it touch the hearts of those here today. For the believer, I pray they be encouraged and given a path to overcome the pressures from without and the pressures from within. But then also for those who perhaps are lost today, they're in that condemnation stage of life. They don't know you. I pray today would be the day of salvation for them. They would come to know you as Savior, trust in you for the forgiveness of their sins, and to have eternal life. So I pray you'll bring glory to yourself through our time together this morning. And I ask it in the name of Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord Most High. Amen. Okay. Pressures. Now, as we walk through this, I don't want to give this fellow too much notoriety or too much attention, but the bottom line is we have an enemy of our souls. He is against us, and he opposes us, and while he's opposing us, he's deceiving everyone else. The scriptures say that he has blinded the eyes of those so that they can't believe. So we have this enemy, this Satan, that's opposing us. And if you've been around me and you've been around me in a witnessing situation, you'd say, well, you seem like a natural at it. You seem like sharing is just flows out. But I'm telling you, I never share the gospel without pressure. It just doesn't happen. There's always pressure. Yeah. I told you in my prayer, I'm feeling pressure. Excuse me. And, excuse me, I'm feeling opposition. The enemy does not want me speaking about the gospel today. He never does. And just so you know, last week we were praying, and I prayed for all of you, prayed for myself. Lord, give us opportunities to share you this week with someone this week. And I want to tell you, God is faithful. And when I wasn't looking, he gave me one. On site, right here. I didn't even have to leave. And when we get further into to the message this morning, it's one of those witnessing encounters that was difficult. Person asked a lot of hard questions, and we're going to cover that today because that's one of the pressures that we face. You know, what do we do when we get a question we can't answer? So we have someone who is definitely against us, is not one sharing good news so that people can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior from sin. And then secondly, we have pressures also from people. Again, it should be a want to. You know, I don't need to twist your arm. I don't need to beat you up. I don't need to keep on you all the time. And that it should be something that you want to do. Now, many of us want to do it, but we either don't know how to get started or we have these fears. We have these various pressures to do this. And I was going to label it fears, but it really is a pressure. And we have fears in this as well. Should be a want to. You know, there was a time I didn't really want to. I didn't want to take the time to go share with anybody. I know... Even for our guests, there was a time in my life for years that I'll just tell you straight out that I enjoyed my buds. And I had my buds at church I like to hang out with. And I want to talk with them and see how things were going and get caught up and all that kind of thing. And I go over and give our guests that would visit, I give them a handshake, say, hey, how you doing? And I go about my way because I want to get back to my buddies. So I wasn't always about reaching out. Now I see it as a responsibility, as an obligation, a good obligation, because I don't know the condition of those who come through our doors. People. So we have Satan, our enemy. We have people that can provide pressure sometimes. That pressure comes from the person you're trying maybe to talk with. But here's a big one that we needed to talk about, and that's results. You know, we feel pressure for results. I've been to, I don't know how many, how to share your faith seminars. I've been to so many of them, and we had to memorize scripts, and this is what you say when you go to the door, says your opening question, and if they say this, you say that, and all the scriptures that you memorize to go with that. But then the big thing is, usually when you're taught how to share your faith, is you hear people giving examples of how people came to faith in Christ. because of their witnessing, of just sharing the gospel. And I could give you several. But here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to show you how to share the gospel, send you out there, and encourage you to share your faith without telling you the truth. And the results are a big part of this truth. Because when I went to these seminars, I was all pumped up. You know, people were coming to faith, transformed lives, all of that. And I went out there thinking, well, I'll share the gospel. Their lives will be transformed, and it's going to be wonderful. It didn't work that way. Sometimes it does. Sometimes they give you a blank look. Sometimes they absolutely reject you. Get out of my face, get off my porch, or whatever the case may be. But let's talk about this pressure for results. Because they're there, whether we think so or not. Here's one of them. We need to know this is a reliever for you, a reliever for me. The Holy Spirit brings conviction. We've talked about this before. You don't do it. When you try to do it, it doesn't work. When I was talking to many married couples, I'd ask them, the spouse, I asked the wives first, how many of you ever changed your husband over the years? You've changed their heart. Well, they've tried, but it hadn't worked. And, you know, even my Mexican friends in Mexico would get it when I'd say that I don't like fat lips, black eyes, or a bloody nose. You know, you try to convict and change your spouse, you're going to receive some opposition there. But the Holy Spirit brings conviction. And when we realize that, it takes the pressure off. Why is it we think that we have to bring conviction? We don't. The Holy Spirit does that. You say, well, how do I know that? Well, let's look at what the Word says. John 16, 7 through 11. Jesus talking to his disciples. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, oh, looky here, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. So the Holy Spirit brings a conviction. And when he brings a conviction, and the person responds by faith in Christ, that's when transformation happens. I hope that relieves you. There's no pressure on you to ever bring that conviction. Oh, how we want to. Oh, how we'd love to. And I remember sharing early on as a believer, I'd go out and share with people, because I had been forgiven, because this weight of sin had been off of my shoulders that I've been carrying around for way too long, I wanted everyone else to have that same blessing of knowing they were forgiven. And sometimes I try to just, if I say the right words, oh, if I just would have said it this way, if I could just be energetic enough or enthusiastic enough. No, the Holy Spirit will bring the conviction. The second thing is, the gospel is the power of God. Let's look at the scripture here. Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed. This is Paul talking to the Romans. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. I want to read a phrase to you again. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. It won't be you. It won't be me. It won't depend on how eloquent I can put it, how clever I am at presenting it. I've shared with you before, it's worth sharing again. I was at one of these Sharing Your Faith conferences. It's out in California, Highland, California. And we spent some days memorizing scriptures, memorizing a script that you do when you go to the door and you knock. And this host church had all these visits lined up for us. They already had people who had a large church, they had a lot of guests, and they had filled out connect cards and said, yeah, we'd like a visit from the church. So we trained, we went out, and it was my turn. You went in groups of three, and somebody else had done the first one, and it was my turn to do the second one. And I won't forget it as long as I live, because it really illustrates this point. I went up there, and it was my turn, and again, I was nervous. Feel all this pressure. And I felt pressure from a couple of areas. Number one was, obviously, from the enemy. We talked about that before. But I also felt pressure for results, because they were sending us out. And after we got done that night, we were going to go back into a big group, and everybody was going to share what God did in those visits. Now, I'm all about praising God, but I'm not about praising numbers. So, go up to the porch, knock on the door, the man comes to the door, my turn. And I'm just telling you, I was supposed to memorize this approach. I was supposed to memorize these verses and walk this person through a gospel presentation in 8 minutes. They even had it timed. You can do it in 8 minutes. And I'm just here to tell you, I butchered that whole presentation. I absolutely butchered it. I didn't do it right. But you know what? I shared enough of the gospel. And the gospel was a power of God unto salvation. And he prayed on his porch that night to pray and receive Christ as his Savior. Had nothing to do with me. It had nothing to do with you. So what's the deal? The deal is you get to be involved in what he's doing in the lives of others. Again, we are lights. We've come out of darkness into light. And then we want to share that light with others so they can be illuminated with the truth of the gospel. And the gospel itself is a power of God. It's not you. So not only do you not have to bring conviction to someone and to show them their sin, but the gospel itself is a power of God unto salvation. It speaks for itself. Let's look at another one. God does a saving work. Here's a familiar passage, hopefully, with you. 1 Corinthians 3, 6 and 7. I planted, and this is Paul, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. I hope, again, that relieves some pressure from you. It's not your business. Conviction's not your business. And if you try to convict people, I'll just say to you, I've said it to many, you're trespassing. It's not your job. It's the Holy Spirit's job, and only his job. So we just share the truth of the gospel. You know, last week we talked about sharing our spiritual journey. We gave you an actual example of that with the Apostle Paul giving testimony before King Agrippa and maybe thousands of people. He was sharing his story of what happened in his life, sharing the gospel with them. So, you plant, you water, and you know, in my life, in my lifetime, I think with most people, we do a lot of planting, a lot of planting. And rarely do I get to do any harvesting. I remember a fella, it was a UPS man. He was delivering furniture. And I went out to let him in, and he came up to me and said, hey, can I ask you a question? I said, I'm all ears. I said, how much time you got? I said, because I've got all afternoon if you'll take it. And so he started asking me some questions. I got to share the gospel with him, and he was like, oh, I didn't know that. Now, he'd been going to church, and he'd been hearing some things, but he didn't know what the gospel actually was. Now, I didn't get to reap that day, but I got to plant. And planting is part of the whole thing. Again, we can be involved in what God is doing in the lives of others. And by the way, they say that most people are exposed to the gospel a half a dozen times before, many times before they actually understand it. And the Holy Spirit reveals to them the truth of his word and his work. So those are some pressures from without. Let's look at some pressures from within. The first one is the fear of rejection. I have taught sharing the gospel, sharing your faith, evangelism, however you want to say it. I've done it 20-plus times. all over the western part of Indiana and many churches. And I ask them what their fears are in the very first time we're together. And this is always number one. Doesn't matter where you go. It's a fear of rejection. What do we do with that? Well, let me give you some scripture to help you understand a few things. Help me understand a few things. Jesus, talking to his disciples again, says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. But here we go. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. Now there's some good news in that. Jesus was the perfect witness. He was a perfect example of sharing himself. And you know what they did to him? They put him up there. So he's just saying, hey, it's coming. You'll be persecuted. So expect rejection. That's part of it. Again, not being responsible for the results, you just give out the gospel. It's as simple as that. The good news is that sometimes they'll keep yours also. When you share the gospel, they will respond. Jesus had many that believed, but he also had many to reject him to the point of death. Well, what about awkwardness and risking relationships? You know, there's somebody that, you know, I'd like to talk to, but I know him pretty well, and I've got a good relationship, and I'm afraid if I share the gospel with him and talk about religious stuff or I talk about God, they're gonna just stiff-arm me and they're going to push me away. What do you do about that? That's what Jesus said. Now, these pretty strong words. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. You see, what makes Jesus a unique figure in history is it's all about change. It's not happy-go-lucky, you're okay, I'm okay, what you do is okay with you, we're just okay. No, Jesus does, he puts it out there and says, you have to believe in me. You need to confess me before men and don't deny me before men. Now, you say, well, what about Peter? Did Peter get kicked out because he denied Christ three times? You know, what's interesting with Peter, that prior to his denial of the Lord three times, he tried to take a man's head off for the gospel. So he was bold with a sword, but what came down to just simply giving, hey, you were with him. You know him. No, not me. And I can only imagine the look of Jesus after he denied him that third time. It says Jesus looked at him. I just can't imagine the guilt and the shame of what he'd just done. But the good news is Peter was a true believer in him because he wept bitterly. He went out and he wept bitterly because he denied the Lord those three times as the Lord said that he would. You see, and that's the difference between someone who truly knows the Lord and someone who doesn't. Again, I want to encourage you that, you know, there are many times when I've had opportunity before and I've not taken it and I have felt guilty about it. So I want to say something to you. If you have opportunity and you turn it down and you don't feel guilty about it, there's something wrong there. There's something wrong. You need to check your belief in the Lord Jesus because he's all about change. What else does he say? Luke 9, he puts it another way. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Ashamed. Ashamed. So when I think about being awkward, and I have some awkward relationships. I have some awkwardness with family, for example. I mean, who wants to talk to their family about it? They know all about you and their family. You know what? You're going to see them all the time. And so what do you do with that? That's awkward. That's a possible risking a relationship. But I want to encourage you that Jesus should mean more to us. He should mean more to us than that. It's not really a risk. And by the way, you should not be the one that is risking the relationship. You should still be hanging in there. You should still be loving them. And by the way, don't be a ding-dong when you're sharing the gospel. Don't be obnoxious. I mean, that's not meant to be funny. Don't be a ding-dong. That never gets you anywhere. And it really brings shame on the Lord when we do that. We should always share out of love and concern. They should never feel from you that you're judging them and that you're putting them down and that they're no good. Again, you don't need to bring conviction. When you do that, then you're being obnoxious and you're trespassing against the Holy Spirit. Again, that's his position. That's his job. Well, how about another fear? Let's talk about another one here. And this is one I experienced just this week. The fear of answering hard questions. So, you take a step out there and you're going to talk with somebody or they start a conversation. In this case, someone this week started a conversation with me in the pole barn. Right out back here. And this fellow asked me some really strange questions. I mean, I really, one of them I haven't even heard before. I've heard a lot of questions, but I haven't heard one of them that he asked me. And because of this, people will say, I don't even want to get started because I don't want to get pinned down. I don't want to step out there because I feel like I can't complete it. And this is a hard one. Those of you who have been in a situation or maybe in it right now, you know what I'm talking about. I have a fear I won't be able to answer the question that they asked me. And listen, we've got to get to we don't need to memorize a phrase. You want to memorize a phrase, this is an easy one. Three words, I don't know. Just tell them you don't know. But follow it up with, but I'll find out. And when you do that, and you come back and you have an answer from the Word of God, you're also saying to them, your question was worth asking. Now, there are some who have their pet questions to try to be intellectual and try to stump you or to try to trip you up, like, oh, I got you on that one. You can't answer that one. I've seen a lot of those, heard a lot of those. But don't be afraid ever to say, I don't know. But I'll find out. And what you're doing is you're being honest with them. You're being straightforward. You're not kind of bluffing your way through. And then you're building trust with them because when you do come back and give an answer out of the Word of God, they know where it's coming from. And every answer comes from there. And the trust also is that you said your question, and some of them I've had have been questions I didn't want to deal with, but you're saying the question was important. This is a big one. So what do you do about that? What's the scripture say? 1 Peter. Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation. Do not be troubled. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And not obnoxious, but with gentleness and reverence. Be ready to give a defense. Here's another way to put it. Paul told Timothy, in Timothy chapter 2, be diligent, or some versions say, study to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. I shared with you before that growing up in my home church, and many men I totally respected because they seemed to know the Word of God. You could ask them anything, and they knew where it was at. And I wanted to be like that, but I didn't want to put the time in myself to get to there. I want to encourage you to dig in. Don't be afraid of questions. Don't be afraid of the hard questions. In fact, you'll be a whole lot better for it, because when you study and you ask somebody, you ever get a question you can't answer? You talk to me. We have many men in the church, women in the church as well, talk to Lori, that can help you answer those questions from the Word of God. You always give them an answer from there. Again, and that's what will apply the pressure, so to speak, not you. But it really does behoove us to study and to show yourself approved to God. I mean, I covered a big gamut, 45 minutes in that pole barn last week with a fellow and his coworker. And I'm not sure who it was for the most, because the coworker was, I mean, his eyes were just glued on the whole conversation. So I got two for the price of one. I was just asking for one, and God gave me two. But we covered a wide range of questions, even questioning if the scriptures are trustworthy. I have resources for you if you need help with that, and I will personally be available to anyone who wants help with that. And this all kind of goes together, but trusting yourself instead of God. Let's look at another scripture here. When they bring you, this is Jesus speaking, before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not worry about how or what you are to speak in your defense or what you are to say, for what? The Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. He has never, ever failed me in this. Ever. You know why? Because you can't stump God. You can stump me, but you can't stump him. And when this fellow asked me a question, he started it. It wasn't a fight. But he started it, and as soon as he started asking me the question, I knew right then this is going to be a witnessing experience. And right there, I was praying as he was asking the question. I was praying, Lord, you show me what to say. Help me to listen. Help me to hear everything that he's saying. Help me to understand what he's saying, what his question is. But show me how to give him an answer. I want to say to you, it didn't end in a conversion experience. But I was able to plant the seed. And I still get excited about that. Plant the seed. And he gave me the words to say. It was so much so, the Holy Spirit, that when this fellow started out asking me these stumping questions, so to speak, there was a little bit of pride and arrogance there on his intelligence. And every question he asked, and the Lord gave me the scripture to put back, and gave me the scripture to put back, and I saw the arrogance start coming down. It wasn't because of me. It's because the Holy Spirit was revealing to me his word to give back to him. The word of God is powerful to bring conviction. And then lastly, expectations. Our expectations, these are pressures. You know, well, I'm going to step out, I'm going to share the gospel, and I really want these people to come to know Christ, and we have these expectations, and it's a pressure. And it's not that we shouldn't have expectations. It's not that we wouldn't hope that they would come to faith in him, that the Holy Spirit would bring conviction, and they would see that conviction and see that their only hope is in trusting Christ as their Savior. Believers, I want to speak to you for a minute. As I've been asking you the last couple of weeks, what's holding you back? What's holding you back from being involved in the most exciting thing that could ever take place in the life of a human being, and that is their salvation? And those of you who've had a salvation experience, you'll never forget that day. You'll never forget that journey. I've never been the same. I never want to go back. Why would I ever want to go back to darkness when I have this marvelous light? So we need to have an expectation that God will work. But we shouldn't give up because we don't see results either. I've known many people who have finally thought, I need to do this. I need a step, I need to say something. And then they got squashed. And then they quit. Don't quit. Keep going. Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It always has been the power of God unto salvation. It always will be. And we should be about giving that out. Would you stand with me? Father, we thank you. We should always be thanking you for the gospel that changed our life, changed our destination from eternal torment to eternal life. And Father, I pray for the believers in the room today, again, that they'll be looking for opportunities to share you with someone else. They'll be prepared to give an answer if someone were to start a spiritual conversation. And they would trust you for the words. Father, encourage us that to be involved in your work truly is the most exciting thing that can ever take place on this planet. Help us to see it that way. And may we peel off activities, may we peel off things that are taking our time, that we're spending our time on, that really don't amount to anything. But we'd be about your business as we're going in this life to share you with others. And Father, today I pray you'll work in the hearts of those who don't believe this morning. Maybe they've heard for the first time. Maybe they've been convicted by the Holy Spirit to respond to you today. And I pray that they would. They would come to the front or in their seat and pray to receive you as Savior, to be forgiven of